ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from 9th canto, chapter 22, entitled The Descendants of Ajamidha, text 33, and we'll go on for at least 10-15 verses till I think 49. So I'll read text 33 first. Tava tata subhadrayam abhimanyur ajayata sarvatirath jidvira uttarayam tato bhava. Translation. My dear King Parikshit, your father Abhimanyu was born from the womb of Subhadra as the son of Arjun. He was the conqueror of all Atirathas, those who could fight with 1,000 charioteers. From him, by the womb of Uttara, the daughter of Viradharaj, you were born. There is no purport. At least for next few verses, so we'll read all of them till text 49. After Kuru dynasty was annihilated in the battle of Kurukshetra, you also were about to be destroyed by the Brahmastra, atomic weapon released by the son of Dronacharya. But by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, you were saved from death. My dear King, your four sons, Janmajaya, Shrutasena, Bhimasena and Ugrasena are very powerful. Janmajaya is the eldest. Because of your death by the Takshak snake, your son Janmajaya will be very angry and will perform a sacrifice to kill all the snakes in the world. After conquering throughout the world, and after accepting Tura, the son of Kalash, as his priest, Janmajaya will perform Ashwamedha Yajna, for which he will be known as Turanga Medhasat. The son of Janmajaya, known as Satanika, will learn from Yajnavalkya the three Vedas and the art of performing ritualistic ceremonies. He will also learn the military art from Krupacharya and the transcendental science from the sage Shaunaka. The son of Satanika will be Sahasranika, and from him will come the son Ashwamedhaja. From Ashwamedhaja will come Asimakrishna, and his son will be Nemichakra. When the town of Hastinapur is inundated by the river, Nemichakra will live in the place known as Kaushumbi. His son will be celebrated as Chitraratha, and the son of Chitraratha will be Suchiratha. From Suchiratha will come the son named Vrutisman, and his son Susena will be the emperor of the entire world. The son of Susena will be Sunitha. His son will be Nrukashu, and from Nrukashu, and from Nrukashu will come a son named Sukhinala. The son of Sukhinala will be Pariplava, and his son will be Sunaya. From Sunaya will come a son named Medhavi. From Medhavi, Nrupajaya. From Nrupajaya, Dhruva, and from Dhruva, Timi. From Timi will come Bruhadratha. From Bruhadratha, Sudasa. From Sudas, Satanika. From Satanika will come Drudamna. And from him will come a son named Mahinara. The son of Mahinara will be Dandapani, and his son will be Nimi, from whom King Kshema will be born. I have now described to you the moon god's dynasty, which is the source of Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, and is worshipped by demigods and great saints. In this Kali Yuga, Kshemaka will be the last monarch. Now I shall describe to you the future of the Magadha dynasty. Please listen. Sahadev, the son of Jarasandha, will have a son named Marjari. From Marjari will come Shutashrava. From Shutashrava, Yutayu. From Yutayu, Nirmitra. The son of Nirmitra will be Sunakshatra. From Sunakshatra will come Bruhasena. From Bruhasena, Karmajita. The son of Karmajita will be Sutanjaya. And the son of Sutanajaya will be Vipra. And his son will be Suchi. The son of Suchi will be Kshema. The son of Kshema will be Suvrata. And the son of Suvrata will be Dharmasutra. From Dharmasutra will come Sama. And from Sama, Dutasena. From Dutasena, Sumati. And from Sumati, Subala. From Subala will come Sunitha. From Sunitha, Satyajita. From Satyajita, Vishwajita. And from Vishwajita, Ripunjaya. All of these personalities will belong to the dynasty of Brihadratha, which will rule the world for 1000 years. Purport. This is the history of a monarchy that began with Jarasandha and continues for 1000 years as the above mentioned kings appear on the surface of the globe. Hare Krishna. So, by the order or request of His Grace Baldev Prabhu, as the sudden blessings I am over here, as sometimes some of you also experience that, and the purport is also very short one. So here we are listening to the two families that existed of the kingly families in the beginning of Kali Yuga, one from the moon family of Pandavas, the descendants of Janmajaya, and another was the family of Jarasandha, son Sahadev, and his successors, and both are discussed or described for the 1000 years, and they say they were the last monarch. Actually, to be a king requires a very qualified person with respect to physical training, mental training, spiritual training. As here, only about one king is discussed here. The son of Janmajaya, known as Shatanika, will learn from Yajnavalkya. So this Shatanika learned three things from three different personalities. From Yajnavalkya, he learned the three Vedas and the art of performing ritualistic ceremonies. So which may be required for him to rule the kingdom, to do some yajnas which are required for the prosperity of himself and the kingdom and the praja. Then he also learned the art of military science from Krupacharya. It seems Krupacharya was there to teach him. And the transcendental science from the sage Shaunaka. So exactly it's not mentioned here, but we can think that this Shaunak Muni is the same who is there in the Bhagavatam. But even if he is not the same, as it is not clearly mentioned, still the point which I want to make is this son of Janmajaya called Shatanika, as he was one of the monarchs, he is amongst the list. He learned all the three things about ritualistic ceremonies from Yajnavalkya, about military art from Krupacharya, and about transcendental science from Shaunaka. So, we can say in today's world, sometimes devotees expect the spiritual masters, they expect everything from him in terms of guidance and knowledge, which is good. But here we see the king, he learned different things from different teachers. And to our guru, who is the guru of transcendental science, we should go to him only for that purpose. Not for expecting him to solve our, material problems. Not asking him guidance, so what should I do in this economic crisis? And Guru's answer, his internal answer would be, give up everything. But then he has to tell, no, you try this and you try that. Better to go for economic guru. You can read Economic Times for that. Huh? Or you can contact some persons who are connected to that field. And he learned the military art. We expect in this Kali Yuga that the spiritual master should be able to tell everything. He may know everything, as Prabhupada says, the pure devotee knows everything. But still, here, in the sense, he is capable to know if required. Prabhupada says, if Krishna wants, I know everything. Or the pure devotee knows everything. So, here we see, Janmajaya's son Shatanika went to Krupacharya, who was also another Brahman. But he learned military art from them. So therefore, he did not did any mistake. He did not interchange them. Or expect Krupacharya to tell everything, even transcendental science. They are teachers of different fields. And for transcendental science, he went to Shaunak. Because it was Shaunak Muni and transcendental science, he must be the same person who is one of the members of this Bhagavatam assembly. So this is important. What is important is the monarch should be learned in all the sciences which he is required to. He is required to perform yajna. So he has to learn that from a proper person. He is required to learn military art, which is also equally important, otherwise he can't play the role of a kshatriya. And he learned that also from a proper person. And he is also required a right king. Like many years back, I was traveling from, I don't know, somewhere in Kerala or Udupi, but I think it was Udupi or Kerala somewhere, many years back, or maybe 10 years back or 8 years back, to Bombay in the train. And two Muslim boys were just across me. And they started talking ki it seems in Mahabharata there was some injustice done to Karna, as there are a lot of talks around. And he was supposed to be the king because he was elder brother and all these normal points. Somehow other at that time, Krishna inspired me to speak this point, which I was thinking what point they could understand, because being from Muslim background, they knew something of Mahabharata. And exactly, if I start giving all other history details of Mahabharata or Karna's past life, maybe it will be just a discussion. But some other for them, I got this point. So because externally, Muslims are like, they understand that Supreme God has to be there in the life. They're like one type of little bit type of fanatic things. So I asked them, is it not that the king, who is the supreme authority of the whole world or kingdom or whatever it may be, little land, he has to be the devotee of the Supreme Lord. Yes, that has to be the first qualification. In the sense, everything else is important, but the king has to be the devotee of Supreme Lord. I said that was the difference. Lord Krishna was satisfying the first qualification to become king, that Karna was not and Yudhishthira was. So whatever was required to put Yudhishthira as the king's position, Krishna was trying to do it. It's not a question of justice or injustice. The most important justice that has to be done to the whole world is the king should be trained in all the three, as we listen to you over here. And because Karna lacked that, surrender to the Supreme Lord. He was not qualified to be the ideal king. And we hear the monarchs only existed for the last 1,000 years, or the first 1,000 years of Kali Yuga. Bhagavatam also says, if you see the 12th, oh, this is also Bhagavatam, the 12th canto, it says, again it gives a list of his son will be this as a future predictions. And they tell something around till King Ashok and his few sons. And actually we read in the history, even during the time of Ashok and afterwards, and even during Chandragupta's time, many kings were quite corrupted in the sense of having habits of intoxication and other things. Not exactly like what we see in the modern day, but still they were indulging in some intoxications and something like that. But still they are counted among the kings. And after that, the Bhagavatam stopped speaking. And he says only Mlechchas and Yavanas, or even lower than that, will rule the Magadha. Magadha in the sense, North Indian area, or the whole of the world. Actually we see in today's age, I was just discussing and somehow that it came to me, that modern day politicians, means they are not exactly kings, in the sense they are not coming from dynasty and like that. But their tendency is there in India. Even in names of political parties, the tendency of the children to take up the reins of a political party is there. But whatever it may be, they have to get elected after 5 years. But this democracy system, we see why Prabhupada would call it democracy, craziness, because in India or any part of the world, they have qualifications to become Prime Minister and Minister and even MLA and MP. What are the qualifications? Very basic. Like he should be a citizen of India. He should be a male, not male, but he should be a person above 35 years. I think that's the only 2-3 things. And I was thinking, what a great contrast. Even to become chaprasi or something like that, you have to pass 10th standard. Nowadays, there are so many demands. Even to become security guard, you should know some English to make some entries in the register. In the interview, they asked that. But to become the ministers and prime ministers, that qualification is not mentioned. In fact, being the highest post to run the country, I'm not saying India, any country for that matter, being the highest post to run the country, the qualification expected should be the highest. Not only engineer or doctor, I think they should all be minimum PhDs. To stand for election, they should be PhDs. At least we should make that. Many problems I think will be solved of the basic types if we make. Only one or two of us will be able to stand for even elections in any. Maybe you can say graduates for Gram Panchayat or something like that. Otherwise there will be no one to stand in the village. If they say PhD should be there to even stand for Gram Panchayat elections, I don't think anyone will be there. But there should be some standards. See, they are taking up the post which are the most important for the country. You should understand that. And they may not be, in fact, they should not be any PhDs. We should say that there should be PhDs which has particularly to do with this ruling the country science, some science which has to be developed, which is required to rule the country. And there should be PhDs in that. Then only they can stand for elections of MP and MLA. And then maybe little lower elections can be little lower qualifications in that same science. But this system is designed particularly. This democracy or demon craze in Prabhupada's language is designed with such great defects that all other jobs you require qualification. Even judge, any job, you require a qualification. No job is there which doesn't mention. Even at least 10th fail, some job expect 10th fail. No jobs interview we see the qualification, you should be citizen of India and you should be above 35 years. I don't think anything more, and you should be elected. I don't think like that. You see, so low qualifications for any post. And therefore we see, in the past, the kings were trained in all aspects. And therefore, we see the whole world, whether monarchy or whether democracy, it's a completely chaos with respect to all the fields. With respect to finances, with respect to corruption, with respect to health, with respect to management. The politicians are doing only basic necessary for them to make some so that things we are doing something. Otherwise we see it's completely selfish motive. The kings were trained to look at their population as praja. Praja means like their own children. Just like a man or a woman who takes care of their own children, sacrifice, that means they sacrifice their comforts. Generally, when a man or a woman has a child, they sacrifice their comforts for the comfort of their children. So, kings should be trained that they should be ready to do all sacrifices for the welfare or the comfort of all the prajas. And Srila Prabhupada and the scriptures expand his definition of praja not only to all human beings, but even to all the species. All the birds, insects, everyone born in his land. And therefore, now when we hear, actually if we don't know this philosophy and this training, when we hear the story of Nimi Maharaj and Ranti Deva Maharaj and all these things, we think they are little, not exactly means normal. We won't behave that way. If I am fasting for so many months or days, and then I have little prasad. Then somebody comes and asks me. Then I say, no, I cannot share with you. And that's what normally most of us would do. Or if we see he is very, very hungry, at the most we will give him half. We won't give everything to him. And then Even somebody comes and says, my dogs are thirsty. Can we think, at least I won't. Even if I have good stock of water and I am full, I won't give the water to anyone's dogs, most probably. Even if I have good stock of water, or maybe I will give in that condition. But when I have been fasting for so many days, and I have only some limited stock of water with me, which I already put in the pot with full intention and planning to drink it, I think you can get an experience. Nirjal Ekadesh is coming sometime, no? Sunday, only 2 days away, 3 days away. So maybe after that fast, just imagine, only 1 day fast, the thoughts of the meditations on the water begin the previous afternoon itself. When that, we are so eager, when that next 6:23 or whatever the breakfast timing will come, every moment, yuga itam nimeshena chakshusha pravrusha itam, that state is there just for the water. At least if you can remember, rasoham apso kontiya, then also our fasting can be literally perfect. If you remember the taste of water which I am hankering for is actually Krishna. But anyway, I can't imagine myself doing that. After fasting, if I am just little one glass of water and someone comes and says, please, my dogs are hungry, I don't think I'm going to share, to be honest. And most of us may not be. But when we see these kings doing all this, Rantidev Maharaj and all others, when we understand that they were trained to treat all their prajas as their own children, then their behavior becomes normal. Just like we see many times, when there is some little water in the train or bus or in even in the home, we see the parents without hesitation give it to their children. Not exactly in Kali Yuga or even in the Western countries. There are, like Devamrut Prabhu, once he came back from US or somewhere and he was telling this. He says one lady from, elderly lady from India went to her son's house in US. And somehow or other, the son and the daughter-in-law, means his wife, had both gone for job. And the home, only a small boy, maybe 2-3 years old, and grandmother, both were there. And then, as they do in India, the grandson might have done some mischief, small mischief. And the grandmother just slapped him, in a sense, with love, a little, just to correct him. And immediately, the grandson called the police. And they came, and the police arrested the grandmother, and she was in jail. And the son came back in the evening, he understood all this has happened. So by that time, the police has filed some reports and everything. And then he had to go to the police station, and the mother has to stay in the police station for the whole night. Some other early morning, he could secure a release, trying to understand that this is what can happen in India. But somehow the mother came back home, and took the first flight back to India. She said, I am not going to there. What can happen in press? Because actually, even though the children are born to parents, but because they are born out of only bodily attraction, even the love for their own children is decreasing or lacking in Kali Yuga. But still, in here at least we can say that we can see most of the parents, they can sacrifice water for their children. They do, at least in the present, up till now we can see. As the Anurudh Prabhu was telling this point, he was telling that in the West sometimes, if we, the father or even mother, tells a child, please clean up this table or something like that, the child may say, oh, you have to pay for me if I do it. And the father has to think, if I pay him, then he can sue me for child labor. Because I am getting some work done and he is asking payment, I am paying it. So it's a complex situation in Kali Yuga because the loving bonds are decreasing. But here at least we see around, normally a parent would easily sacrifice some water. It's very natural, they won't even think twice. Similarly, the kings were trained to treat all the praja as children, their own loving children. And when we see these acts of Rantidev Maharaj and others, Nimi Maharaj, in this light of their training, then it becomes, oh, that's perfectly very, in the sense, that is what is normally expected from a king. And we see another point, that Prabhupada would always say this monarchy is better. And people accuse that the king is bad and he controls the wealth. But Radhika Vallabh Prabhu was once saying that capitalism means wealth divided unevenly. Which is correct. We see more, it is said that 98% of wealth or something like that. I may be a little wrong in number, but this is what it says. 98% of wealth is with 2% of population in the world. And 2% of wealth is with the remaining 98% of population. So this may be the result of democracy or monarchy or whatever it may be. Or no, capitalism. This may be the result of capitalism that wealth is divided unevenly. And Radhika Vallabh Prabhu said communism means poverty divided evenly. That all the people are equally poor. So monarchy was a trained king. Slowly, slowly we see as the Kali Yuga progressed, the kings did not get any training of any, means they had some training some way here and there, but they were not ideal teachers and there were no ideal teachings that were happening to the princess, the prince and all them. Therefore, we see this, after that it is said, Yavans and Mlechhas will rule the world. The only Dasyu, Prayeshu, Rajasu is described. I heard somewhere, I think Govind Prabhu or someone was telling that even in Chandragupta's time, anyone who takes sannyas, all the sannyasis had to undergo interview by the king. And if the sannyasis had some mundane motives, the punishment was that they have to go back to the home and get settled. So that way everyone, especially those who are higher up in the rungs of the society, the kings, the brahmanas, as Prabhupada says, not Prabhupada says, Bhagavatam says, from this moon dynasty, the Kshatriyas and the Brahmanas came. The more responsible position you have, you should be more trained and more qualified. But today's fault is the highest positions, the ministers, prime ministers, absolutely don't require any qualification. And all the lower and the lowest position also require some qualification. And as I said, if we can reverse this, it's very difficult. But anyway, by law or agitation, if we can reverse, I think most of the problems will be solved. As Prabhupada would say, there should be second initiative brahmanas. We can add some training qualification to them also. That they should be more better of character and they should have all the training. They should have training of the spiritual science, training of the military science and training of the ritualistic karma, ritualistic activities. So we see in this list, so many kings are mentioned. And they will be ruling the earth. The next chapter again will be dynasty of the sons of Yayati. So all these dynasties which were ideal kings, they are mentioned in Bhagavatam because there is a king responsible for managing the kingdom and responsible for helping the people to advance that in devotional life. So I think that's what we can say for today's verse and the purport. Hare Krishna. The short purport, three lines purport, still I spoke much more than I expected. I was expecting to speak quite less. So I think we should end. If anyone has comments, all senior duties are sitting here. Radha Upinath Prabhu has a comment.
Hare Krishna. I was reading an article. Since there is time, I just thought I'll speak. And you referred to this instance of qualification. I was reading an article about which talked about authority. And it was quite interesting. He said, authority means having influence over others. And generally, people have influence over others because of three or four, that's what the article said, four ways. So one is by position. say in the military, the moment you have a 3-star, whoever you are, 2-star fellow will salute you. So the position, the chair, itself commands respect, whether that person is qualified or not. Another one is competence. He has a competence or experience. Naturally, such a person becomes authority by dint of his experience in whatever field. People consult him and want to listen to that person. The third is personality. Somebody is very approachable and very accommodative, and naturally people are, just by that personality, he may influence others. And the fourth is character. And it was mentioning that how in the spiritual circle, character is most important, because you are supposed to represent an authority, and to the extent there is transparency, purity, to that extent you can actually be a channel for the Lord's empowerment to manifest. So could be, yeah, these are the things. A king should have a certain personality, leadership, shauryam, tejo, dhritihi, daksham. All these are mostly skills. And another thing is, brahmana is more of, you know, shamo, damah, tapa, shaucham, kshantir, arjam. These are all the brahminical part. And the kshatriya part is more skills. Dhritihi, daksham, expertise. And, you know, yuddhechapi apalayam, not running away from battle. It means really he must be courageous. And dhanam ishwara bhavam, leader. So that comes to more in terms of the personality part. And competence by probably a lot of training. And then the fourth one is, he can be anointed and given the suitable power. I think I was seeing this drama of Shivaji Maharaj. He said he was in one sense doing all that, and Gaga Bhatta, somebody comes, he says, you have to be anointed, but you are doing that job, but what you need is a position also to have full take full advantage of what the other things you have. So this is just thought. And one other one, very nice thing. He says, doesn't matter how you have come on top. If you have come by position, acquire the other three. If you have come by character alone, get the competence, get the personality. If you come by personality, get the character. So any of these, the other has to be, if he is really responsible, he will do the other three. However he has come. Hare Krishna.
Prabhu, he is also our senior devotee, so he wants to speak something.
Hare Krishna. I had one question on this point about qualification you are mentioning. That in we have heard that in the scriptures it is said that four things are prohibited for Kali Yuga, and one of them is sannyas. So what it means is, technically no one is qualified to take sannyas in Kali Yuga. So then why do we have so many sampradayas awarding sannyas? Especially Vaishnava sampradayas, like Madhva sampradayas, sannyas is like considered highest. And even in our ISKCON and Gaudiya Math, sannyas is awarded. So how do we understand, explain this? We know that it is for preaching and all that, but how do we reconcile the contradiction in scriptures?
Prabhupada, I think, explains quite a few places in his books, and other devotees can add on, is that here the karma sannyas is indicated. So generally, avoiding the activities, like avoiding the physical activities at all, completely, is indicated here. And Prabhupada mentions in that 6th chapter or 3rd chapter that Vaishnava sannyasis are engaged in all types of activities in the field of devotional service, and therefore they are safe from falling down. So the sannyas which is expected here is to avoid the physical activities and all types of responsibilities. We see Prabhupada's sannyasis, or even in other sampradayas, most of them, except in Mayavad or something, but even they also, because that risk, basically the people in Kali Yuga have good influence of passion, even as a brahmachari or sannyasi. And like Prabhupada went to US, he used their energy for the service of God. So here what is explained is, even though you may be sannyasi, you have to still be fully active in Krishna's service. Inactivity is not a generally suggested course of action. Maybe other devotees can add on. I think we'll end. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.